My guest at this time is Eric Bolling. He is co-host of The Five on the Fox News Channel. You see him every weekday evening, and he's also the host of Cashin' In on the weekends. He is also the author of Wake Up America, The Nine Virtues That Made Our Nation Great, and Why We Need Them More Than Ever. And Eric, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
It's almost like the subhead could have been How to Make America Great Again, but I'm guessing that was trademarked, maybe?
No, actually, I wrote the book before he went with that, before Mr. Trump went with that, but he is one of the people who read the book, liked it enough to write a quote for the book, so it's on the back cover, but he said the book is huge, it's going to make America great again.
Well, just so everyone knows, the virtues listed in the book and described in the book are grit, profit, manliness, thrift, individuality, dominion, merit, pride, and providence. Most of those value personal achievement of some sort or another, or individual qualities, both in effort and in character. So why do you think so many are demonized in our culture today as greedy or selfish, and what's the goal behind this assault?
Well, okay, so the book was written because of President Obama. In fact, I dedicated the whole book to President Obama on the first page. You can see the dedication. And it was because the country is being pulled so far left for so many years. When President Obama, even before he was President Obama, Senator Obama said, we need to fundamentally change America. And then we elected him anyway, and he's done that. He's tried to and has succeeded in pulling us very, very hard left. And my point, and it's my only book, my first book, was that I needed to get some sort of roadmap back to the center, back to center-right, where the country was founded and has done very well for 240 years. And I think the book does that. So I went on what I see as virtues or values that the country was based on, and they're all things that I've had in my life and instilled in me, and I've been very successful coming from a very poor background, and I think it's thanks to those virtues. So I had to get them written down. So that's what the book was all about. And you know, it seems to be touching a nerve. I mean, conservatives are going crazy for the book. It's been on the bestseller list since we launched. New York Times bestseller list, and it's still selling like crazy. So there was a need, there's a desire and appetite for conservative rhetoric or conservative talking points, and I think that's what we do.
You mentioned your difficult and certainly modest upbringing. Without these character qualities that have embodied America over the past 240 years, as you mentioned, do you think you'd be where you are now?
I certainly would not. I mean, I one of the stories in the book, and I do go through quite a few stories, personal stories. It's mostly politics, but some personal stories in there as well. It was when I was 6 or 7 years old, and we were in Chicago, and we were really, really poor. And we would go to a place like this called Valueville. It's kind of like a dollar store is now. My mom said, can you go grab a pair of sneakers over there? So I brought back some Pro Keds, and the look on her face when she had to tell me that we couldn't afford the sneakers, I'll never forget it. I think at that moment, it's like, wow, that was my realization that there are people who have, you know, there's haves and have-nots in the world, and we were in the have-nots, and I just wanted to get out of that situation, wanted to help my family. And I forged forward. I think it's a lot of the reason that I went from that life to being very blessed to sit in the middle seat on The Five on Fox News every day and sitting in for Bill O'Reilly when he wants to take a vacation. It's a blessed life, and it certainly wouldn't have happened without the values. I end the values, the last value and the virtue in the book is providence, because like you said, I'm very fortunate to get where I am, but that I don't believe that's from hard work alone. It's a lot of it, but it's also, you know, I go to church every day and I thank the good Lord for the success I've had.
And while you went from that moment in the shoe store to the middle seat on The Five, it's an amazing journey along the way from baseball to the financial world and eventually to Fox News. That's a great aspect of the book. Any particular reason for the order that you put these values
no.
in?
No. Interesting. So I started writing, and I had no idea how many there were going to be. I just started writing, and I ended up with 9, and then I had the task of ordering them. That's a good point. I really wanted to start with grit because grit is important. I think the country is founded on grit. You know, our forefathers, and I highlight some of this stuff in the book. You know, they weathered some massive, massive winters, and they were gritty and determined to make sure that they did carve out the America in the landscape, and they did that. And in, you know, I've always done that. My mom, her final words on her deathbed, I was standing right next to her. She pulled me close, and she, you know, whole family sitting around, and her last two words on earth were never quit, and I think that embodies grit. You never quit, and I haven't, you know, and so I wanted to start there, and then I wrote, you know, several, And like I said, I ended up with Providence because I think leaving that book was, you know, with the hat tipped to the good Lord above was the way to do it.
Let's talk a little bit about where you see these values eroding. Perhaps a lot of people would point to the young adult generation, the millennial generation, and there's one story in the book that makes me think of that, although I'm not sure he's technically a millennial, but he might be, and that's Chris Hayes at MSNBC, who was all excited about soccer in large part because it's the one thing he said, or at least one thing, that America can't just throw its weight around in, and it was almost an anti-American exceptionalism thing. A lot of people see the millennials in a negative light, looking for the easy way. That's probably not a fair way to describe the entire generation. But how concerned are you about this generation and being in conflict with these values?
So here's how concerned. I wrote the book, and the common theme throughout the book is this push back against the PC culture. And you point that out with Chris Hayes, basically saying, hey, America can't be that exceptional. We want to be, you know, just like everyone else. And President Obama said that famously in Cairo, Egypt, his first foreign policy speech. But I have a 17-year-old son going to college this year for the first time, or he just turned 18 the day before yesterday. And he's off to this liberal academia. Now I'm very concerned that he turns into a left-wing zealot. He's not right now. I've never pushed politics on him, but the other day he was watching Sean Hannity's show on his own, and he said, Dad, what happens if she's elected president? What are we going to do? And he was talking about Hillary Clinton, and I was like, well, you know, we'll survive, but let's hope it doesn't get to that. And my point was that he's leaving with at least a fair and balanced idea of what's right and what's wrong, what's good government, what's bad, and hopefully he comes back with the same, but I'm concerned he won't because of the liberal, not even lean, just complete slant in academia.
Fans of the Five will know that you all traveled to both conventions on your highly publicized bus tour. Hopefully you're all still talking to each other after spending that much time together. What did you see at the two conventions about how the two parties appeal to these values or are pulling away from these values?
Well, I think the biggest difference between the two, I would say in law enforcement, I would say the first convention, the Republican convention, there was and personally I was doing this as well as hat-tipping law enforcement. They had the place completely safe and secure. You felt great walking around. You respected law enforcement. They respected you back. And it was also going on stage. In fact, at the end of each show, I would highlight a couple of different officers from various branches of law enforcement, whether it's Secret Service, Homeland Security, local cops, whatever. And it was nice. That didn't follow through in the DNC the next week. It was more, you know, they were more saying, highlighting Black Lives Matter. And if you remember, the second night, they had a couple of three or four moms of people who were killed by police officers, giving them the stage without giving the police officers a say in as well. You know, a lot of police officers get shot too, and a lot of moms of police officers who are grieving as well, but they didn't. So there's a complete opposite bias towards, non-law enforcement in the DNC. So that's one of the big values I saw different between the two.
What about reversing the assault? You're doing your part here with the book and talking about it with people like me and other people interviewing you about the book. Do you sense a vigorous pushback? Trump, of course, is talking about fighting back against the PC culture. Do you get the sense that America is tired of this and is about to make a reverse?
I think that's where Trump's base is coming from. I think that's in general, you see these groups of people who are coming out to see Donald Trump, and they're tired of being told they can't say this, they can't say that, it's offensive to hold the door open for a woman, and they're tired of it, and happens to be similar to what I had written before the book was written before Trump ever jumped into the race, but he's just tapping into kind of the same thing that I was tapping into. I'll tell you, I do these book signings around the country, and people come up to the desk, and they're saying, where's this book been for 7 years? And I said, well, you know, it's always been there. It's been in my – I just didn't have the – impetus to write it until now, because I'm very concerned about the next election. So I think Trump is tapping into the same thing that the book was tapping or is tapping into.
But you're clearly saying in this book that it's not irreversible.
I don't think it's irreversible at all. I think there's still hope and there's still time. But I will tell you, 8 more years. So I opened the book before the individual virtues. I open with this introduction that has Hillary Clinton signing, holding her right hand up, and she's being sworn in as the first, is the first female president. But I do this scenario of there's Al Gore, he's Secretary of Energy, Al Sharpton, he's Secretary of Education, Bernie Sanders, the communist, is the Treasury Secretary. And it's kind of this apocalyptic horror scenario. And then you read on and you say there's ways that it doesn't have to be this way, and that's what the book is all about. It doesn't have to be this way. But I'll tell you, doing these book signings, people start reading the book as they're waiting for the in line to be for the signing, and they'll get through the introduction. They'll be like, I'm scared to death. How are we going to handle this? I said, don't worry. Just keep reading. The reason for the book is a manual to fix it so we don't have to have, this doesn't have to be permanent. It can be just a temporary phase we went through.
Well, Eric, you mentioned that the Republican nominee has struck a nerve on a lot of these issues. The sales of your book is testament that you have as well. Thanks very much for your time today, and best wishes for continued success.
Thank you so much. You can go to ericbowling.com for signed copies of that.
Oh, fantastic. Again, ericbowling.com for a signed copy of Wake Up America, The 9 Virtues That Made Our Nation Great and Why We Need Them More Than Ever. Eric, of course, is co-host of The 5 and host of Cashin' In on the Fox News Channel. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.